As the Muslim feast and famine of Ramadan begins, an absolute devastation is about to be visited right in the heart of the Middle East, starting in the Persian Gulf, but very quickly spreading to the Levant and to the surrounding Arab states in the Persian Gulf. I have, from the highest placed of sources, that Israel and the United States have decided on all-out war on Iran in the next hours, at most, in the next days. My source, impeccable, unimpeachable, tells me that they promise shock and awe, going back to the shock and awe that was launched around about this time in 2003, and which led to the cascade of ISIS and Al-Qaeda around the world, and led to the deaths of a million people in Iraq, thousands of service personnel of the American, British, and other allied armies. A war which was over quickly, but the end was actually merely the beginning, and a war that rages still. Learning nothing, forgetting nothing, the Trump regime has decided, like the Bourbons before them, that if it doesn't work the first several times, why not try it again? Donald Trump is about to open the gates of hell. And moreover, when the Russian Navy is in the Straits of Hormuz performing naval exercises with the Iranian Navy, this will be a war without end. This will be a war without limits. This will be a war without territorial boundaries. This will be a war that will spread like wildfire right across the region and right across the world. Donald Trump has assembled more than one-third of all American armed forces in or heading rapidly towards the Persian Gulf. In a U-turn after a U-turn after a U-turn, Trump has just lashed the British Prime Minister, Keir Starmer, for his decision to lease Diego Garcia and give title to the people who rightly own it. He once opposed it, then supported it, then opposed it again, and then supported it again. And now, this evening, where else but on social media, Trump has declared that he will be using not just Diego Garcia, but the Royal Air Force Base at Fairford in England, in the United Kingdom, for an all-out war, placing Britain, of course, in both circumstances, in the firing line. The Iranians have missiles that can reach the United States of America. They definitely have missiles that can reach Westminster. The consequences of this war have been much warned against, even by the neighbors, satraps as they are, have told Trump that this can only bring ruin upon them. And their regimes are beginning now to rattle down. The leader of the United Arab Emirates, Mohammed bin Zayed, I wear his father's watch always. Mohammed bin Zayed is in the middle of a power struggle that has seen him disappear from view and rumors of his death circulating in the region and farther beyond. The Persian Gulf family dictatorships will no longer exist once Iran begins its retaliation. In fact, I'll be asking our guests this evening about whether or not the Iranians should not get their retaliation in first. After all, a clear and present threat exists to their entire being, to their existential existence. An entire naval and air armada has been assembled, is sailing towards them. The president is daily, even hourly, threatening with them on social media. He's threatening to obliterate them. He's threatening to destroy them. And nobody could argue that Iran does not have the legal right to fire first. And those aircraft carriers in the Persian Gulf will quickly turn into floating coffins. What about the Russian Navy? What are the Russians going to do? What are the Chinese going to do? Iran is a centrally placed ally of both of them. Iran is the major supplier of oil to China, which has already lost its ally in Venezuela. And don't tell me that the Delcy Rodriguez has not sold the pass, because everything makes clear that she has indeed done so. So is China going to watch another ally of its being destroyed by Donald Trump? Is Russia going to allow the United States Army and Navy and Air Force to create a hostile regime right in the heart of the Russian heartland? This and these are big questions, and we are perfectly placed with our guests tonight to analyze them at the highest level. The guests we have, one Iranian-born Swedish and American citizen, and one a veteran of the CIA. Now, if you think I'm bluffing, I promise you that I am not. I know this war has been a long time coming, and we have covered it coming for not months, but years. But this time, it's real. Shock and awe. Well, how did it work out the last time? It's more or less the anniversary of the war that Bush and Blair launched on Iraq in 2003. They killed 1 million people. Iraq has effectively ceased to exist as a functioning state ever since. ISIS and Al-Qaeda were born there. They proliferated and spread throughout the world. And the conflict is not over yet. The United States has just promised sanctions on Iraq. Sanctions on the Iraq they created, if they have the temerity to allow the man that won the election in Iraq to become prime minister again. Al-Maliki is not a trusted ally of the United States. That's why he won the election. The people of Iraq hate the United States. But then, at this point, who doesn't? Donald Trump is dealing death and devastation, instability and chaos all over the world, even inside the European Union, even inside NATO, even inside Washington, even inside his own cabinet, where it is widely believed that the Vice President, J.D. Vance, completely opposes the war against Iran. He's causing devastation and chaos even in his own country. Multiple mass shootings, assassinations of politicians, actually or revealed as plots and conspiracies. When the murder by ICE of two white Americans took place in the last month, half of America cheered. When Charlie Kirk was brutally assassinated on camera, the other half of America cheered. America's on the brink of civil conflict, with a minority supporting Donald Trump, but a fanatic and heavily armed minority. This chaos has been unleashed as the prospect of the final end of Western European-based hegemony in the world began to be obviously doomed. That's what Marco Rubio's speech to the Munich Security Conference was all about. If you haven't read it, I urge you to read it line by line. It was a declaration that Western civilization is dying, it's going down, and that the Western European and their North American kith and kin must unite to reverse the anti-colonial trend, to reverse the trend towards multipolar power in the world. And the Europeans cheered it. In fact, they gave it a standing ovation. So now the global South, Africa, Asia, Latin America, Eurasia, they all now know what the American empire plans. It plans a reconquest of the world before it is literally too late for them to mount such an expedition. And Iran is the second of Donald Trump's reconquests. For 100 years and more, the United States has bridled against the independence of Latin America, against the degeneration of the Monroe Doctrine. A Donroe Doctrine is now in place. No opposition to American domination will be permitted in the Western Hemisphere, and that includes from European countries. Denmark, as Senator Lindsey Graham said, who cares who owns Greenland? Well, only Greenland and Denmark, of course, because it's their sovereign territory. But who, as Lindsey Graham said, is Denmark? In fact, he said it with such profanity that it caused great offense even to American diplomats present. But he was telling the truth. Who is Denmark? Who is the Netherlands? Who is France? Who is Britain with their woke and weak armed forces? The United States knows full well that American security guarantees are the only thing that they could rely on. They tried to destroy Russia and failed. They tried to stop China's rise and rise, but they failed. And they're about to discover that Iran is not Venezuela. Iran is not Iraq. The United States does not have the military force to occupy Iran, a country of 90 million people and truly vast territory, with allies in Moscow and Beijing. And that's why they've chosen shock and awe. My source tells me that the United States and Israeli air power is going to devastate Iran for 48, 72 hours or more until they hope they have broken the regime and broken the spirit of the people. But they forgot that boomerangs come back to hit you. The Iranian armed forces are this time locked and loaded. The Iranian response is this time perfectly calibrated. And as Professor Mirandi, our friend and frequent guest, just tweeted in the last few minutes, leave all Arab countries in the Persian Gulf immediately, full stop. That means that the Straits of Hormuz are going to be blocked, that the oil and gas production facilities in all of Iran's neighbors are going to be instantly destroyed. That means that American bases far away from the Persian Gulf are going to be annihilated, and anyone in them will be eviscerated. The armada of ships is highly vulnerable, from land-to-ship missiles, hypersonic missiles, which will target the big warships, target the aircraft carriers. And then there's the question of Israel. This war is for Israel, just like the Iraq war was for Israel. Israel has now led the United States into another disaster, and they will pay a high price for it, because the Iranians, once they're finished with their Gulf neighbors, will ensure that the full might of their missile power will fall on the streets of Tel Aviv, of Ashkelon, of Haifa, of Jaffa. The Iranian response will be unlimited in time and space. It will stretch across the world, but it may destroy Israel first and foremost. Now, some of you say, my own son asked me if Iran could possibly win this confrontation. The answer is, it depends what you mean by winning. It is entirely underestimated in Western circles the nature of the Iranian political and religious system. For them, death is not the end. For them, death is a ticket to paradise. For them, death against America fighting Israel is a guaranteed ticket to paradise. For them, going down with all guns and all rockets blazing is an honor. To go down fighting Satan, the great Satan, and the little Satans is an honor for them. They will not care if they die. They will not care because for them, death is not the end. For us in the West, flabby and completely lost to religion, it is, of course. We care only about material things. And therefore, I draw your attention to this. Once the Straits of Hormuz have been closed, once not a pint of oil or a meter of gas is being produced anywhere in the Persian Gulf, and any already produced will be precluded from leaving the Straits of Hormuz, you will not be able to buy oil and gas. Your homes will shiver. Your factories will grind to a halt. Your cars will be abandoned on the streets. Your aircraft will be unable to take off. Your economy will be devastated and ruined. Your unemployment, Britain's just reached 5% this week. It'll be 50% or more. So if you care about material things, then beware that what Donald Trump and Netanyahu, with the active participation of Keir Starmer, because Trump's just told us he's going to be using an English airfield to fly bombers to destroy Iran. Once the war begins, nothing that you hold dear will any longer be guaranteed, and much of what you value will disappear forever, and a new world will be born in flames and screams of agony in country after country. Apocalyptic, for sure, but then the apocalypse begins any time now. This is the mother of all talk shows. Stay tuned.